الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، dear brothers and sisters, I want to remind myself and you that on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will weigh the deeds. He will not count them. Allah will establish the mizan, which is the weighing scale. Allah will not set up a counter. Allah will not count deeds, Allah will weigh the deeds. So what is the difference between counting and weighing? Counting is a numbers game, whereas weighing means quality. Counting is numbers. Weighing means quality. Counting, for example, would be to say how many salah did you pray in your life. Weighing would be to say in how many of those salahs that you prayed was there for sure. The biggest dalil for this, inshallah, is the famous hadith, which is called the hadith of the three, salat, where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that on the day of judgment, the first people to be presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their account will be three people. The first of them will be an alim who studied the deen and then who taught the deen all his life. And when he is presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be said to him that you studied Islam and you taught Islam so that you should be known as a great alim. And this happened. And so today, there is nothing here for you and he will be thrown into the hellfire. Who are we talking about? We're talking about somebody who was an alim of Islam. And in a worldly context, somebody who was known in the world as a great alim, he will be thrown into the hellfire. The second one who will be presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be a person who was wealthy and who spent his wealth in the path of Allah. He spent his wealth in charity and in various matters to do with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, helping people and so on and so forth. And that person, when he is presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be said to him that you spent your wealth so that you will be known as a generous person, and this happened. And today there is nothing for you and he will be thrown into the hellfire. Once again, who are we talking about? Are we talking about somebody who gave some charity once in a while? No, we are talking about somebody who in the world was known to be a philanthropist. Somebody in the world who had this reputation of spending thousands and thousands and millions of dirham and dinar and rupee and dollar for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This work of khair, that work of khair. But before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not a single cent of that was acceptable and this person will be thrown into the hellfire. Allahumma akhfirna. Allahumma hafizna. Third person who will be presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be somebody who went out to fight for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in jihad fi sabilillah. And in that battle, this person was killed and he was known as a shaheed fi sabilillah. That person will be brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it will be said to him that you fought for the sake of your nafs so that you will be known as a brave soldier. And this happened and you have nothing here and he will be thrown into the hellfire. Who are we talking about? We are talking about somebody who is a shaheed fi sabilillah in our eyes. And what is bigger than that? That is the pinnacle of iman. The pinnacle of iman is jihad fi sabilillah, and the pinnacle of that is to actually lose your life in the battle for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that person will be thrown into the hellfire. Why? Because there is no worth in that deed. There is no weight in that action. Now please notice, are we talking about people who did not do things? No, we are talking about people who not only did, but did to an extent where in the world they were known to be, they would stand out. If you were thinking about an alim, you would think of this particular alim. If you were thinking about a generous philanthropist, you would think about this particular philanthropist. If you were looking at somebody who you want to teach people how should you fight in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would say so and so, see what he did. But on the day of judgment, they will be in the hellfire. Why? Because with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the number of deeds has no value. The worth of the deed has value. Now, what is it that adds worth and what is it that takes away the worth? What adds worth to a deed is only one thing, and that is sincerity, ikhlas. Ikhlas is what adds value to a deed. What is it that adds weight to the deed? And that is the reason why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said on the Day of Judgment, a person who has given in charity will come and he would have given something the weight of a date seed. Yeah, we are sitting in Ramadan and Alhamdulillah, I don't think there is a single household on the face of the earth which does not have dates. Yeah? Even if we don't eat dates the rest of the year, we eat now. Seriously, do this as an experiment. Today at iftar time, after you have eaten the date, just take the seed and weigh it. Put it on your kitchen scale. See if it even registers. Yeah? That one seed, I can bet you on a kitchen scale, it will not even register. It's so light that it will not even show on your kitchen. You have to have a more accurate and a more sensitive scale to weigh the weight of that date seed. But what did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? He said that on the Day of Judgment, a person will come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who would have spent one date seed in the path of Allah, and that date seed which he spent in the path of Allah will have more weight than a mountain of gold the size of Wat of Ohad. Somebody else has spent gold to the size of the mountain of Uhud. But that gold will have less weight than the date seed of this one person. Why? Because that person's ikhlas was such. That person's sincerity and the only desire to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was such. That weight of that seed in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is much more than this mountain of gold. Because remember, at the end of the day, neither the wealth is ours, nor the strength is ours, nor the knowledge is ours. It's all from Allah anyway. So what big deal? I spent. You spent what? You spent yours? That is why the Urdu Shayar, he said, Jaan di. Jang mein gaya. Jihad mein wo shaheed ho gaya. To kaha jaan to de di. To kaha jaan di. Di hui usi ki thi. Jaan di. Di hui usi ki thi. Haq to ye hai ki haq ada na hua. He said, the truth is that you did not fulfill. You are right. You did not fulfill the right of Allah. You gave your life, but the life came to you from Allah. Jiski cheez usi ko lauta hai, kiska kis pe ehsaan deta hai. Jiski cheez thi, usi ko lauta hai, toh ehsaan kiske aur hai. Ehsaan toh jab hota hai, apni khud ki cheez agar kisi ko dete hai, apni kisi hai nahi. It would be ehsaan if you gave something which belonged to you. You returned what you took from somebody, that's not ehsaan on that person. And that's why the Shayar said that you gave your life, but the life came to you from Allah. So the truth is that you did not fulfill the right, even after you gave the life. So that is this issue of sincerity, the weight of the deeds. Now, so what is it that adds weight to a deed? It is sincerity, it is ikhlas. To do that deed only and only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does it mean? It means also that there will be a time, at some point in our lives, where we will have to choose. Because we live in a world which is full of sin. We live in a world which is full of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you were living in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, maybe this dilemma would not be there. Because nobody would want you to do something which displeases Allah. So there would be probably no dilemma like this, right? But in our time, you can be assured, this dilemma is bound to be there. So I want to do something, but my mother is not happy with that, my father is not happy with that. I'm talking about even our parents. May Allah forgive us. We have got, illa mashallah, we've got parents who lead towards sin. Parents who encourage children to do wrong. Parents who actually encourage, in some cases, force children to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent parents to guide children, not to misguide children. But we have parents who misguide children. So this also, and apart from that, of course, a friend and so on and so forth, if you start doing something, you start praying, or you start following the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you wear your trousers above your ankle, or you grow a beard, or you wear a hijab, you will have, believe me, you will have, the first people to criticize you will be the Muslims. This is the biggest tragedy. The first people to criticize you will be the Muslims, not the non-Muslims. Not the non-Muslims. I have never till now, wallahi, I have never till now had any non-Muslim. I've got thousands of friends who are non-Muslim. I've got friends who are atheists and who are, of every conceivable belief. Not a single one of them ever criticized either my dress or my beard or anything. Not one. Many praised it. I was sitting in an airport, Hartford airport in the US once, and I was wearing a turban and I was wearing a mishla, and a stranger, a lady comes up to me and says, excuse me, are you a sultan? She says, are you a sultan? I said, not yet. I'm trying, you know, I got to fight a country. I'm ready to rule, but there's no country to rule. So we had a good laugh. Alhamdulillah, I have reached a stage where even the Muslims don't criticize my beard anymore. But the point is that there was a time when people said, kya hai, budde dikh rahe ho, aisa hai, aisa hai, and you're looking old. To wala rahe ho, kya hone ka shaadi ho gayi. Budde dikh. Tum na ko kar lo, tumhara kar bol ke bole isko pehle. Kya baat budde dikh rahe? Hai budde. Shaadi ko bolte, chokra dikh bolte. Seriously, I mean, but this is, point I'm making is this, apart from the, you know, the humor. My point is, be absolutely certain in your mind that you will be put on a spot where you will have to choose between pleasing Allah and pleasing somebody else. This will happen. I'm talking about what is it that adds weight to a deed? Sincerity, which is to do it only for the sake of Allah. And what takes away from it is to give precedence to somebody else. So what adulterates the deeds? Two things. There are two things which adulterate the deeds. One is our own nafs, our own desire. So we will come to a point in our lives where there is something which we know is right, and then our desire is something else. You have to choose between your desire and the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about this desire? I'm not speaking to you of my own invention. I'm giving you dalail from the Quran and Sunnah. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about this dilemma of choosing between your own desire and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The hukum of Allah. First, Surah Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna nafsa la ammaratum bisu illa ma rahima rabbi. Yusuf alayhi salam says that verily my nafs, it is the nature of my nafs to lead towards him. Inna nafsa la ammaratum bisu. This is the nature of the nafs. It will take towards sin. Illa ma rahima rabbi, except for the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed and Allah's rahmah is on that person. And then in Surah Al-Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ara'aita man ittakhadha ilahahu hawa. Even more severe warning. Allah said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, have you not seen the one who has taken his hawa, who has taken his desire as his God, as his ilah? He is worshipping his ilah. Instead of worshipping Allah, he is worshipping his nafs, his desire. أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. So the desire will lead us towards sin, and to follow the desire in opposition to the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shirk. What do you call something worshipping other than Allah? What is the word for shirk? Is it a shirk which takes you out of Islam or not, and so on and so forth? As I said, I'm not sitting here to make fatwa, no. But is it shirk? Yes, the Quran said it is shirk. I didn't say it. The Quran says it is shirk. So, one thing which adulterates our deeds and takes away the weight from the deed is to follow the nafs, to follow personal desires in opposition to the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's hukum is to follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our desire sometimes, some of the sunnahs are nice to do. So we always say after the meal, no, where is the sweet? It is sunnah. We eat sweet. It is also sunnah to eat less. And that comes before the sweet, no? That sunnah we don't follow. We eat up to here. And then we say food is coming out of the ears. And we say, well, no, there is a separate compartment for the sweet. Everybody is an expert on anatomy as far as where sweets will go. So some sunnahs are nice to do. So we follow. But other sunnahs, We have been conditioned to believe that, you know, we look good one way and so on and so forth. So that sunnah we do not follow. We all like to follow the sunnah of people say, no, you see, I must take a second wife. Oh, mashallah, very good. Please go ahead. There's no cure for insanity anyway, so go ahead. So why are you taking a second wife? No, just sunnah. Oh, very nice. Sunnah, take a second. Nobody denies this. But is it sunnah to treat your first wife properly? What about treatment of the wife who already is there? Is that also sunnah or that is not sunnah? So if the wife you have, you kick her around, then you want to go and marry a second wife. So fine, very good. So now what is the second wife you want to marry? Is this second wife, is it this poor woman who is living in a village, who has 5 children, her husband died and she cannot support them and she is like 50 plus. Is it sunnah to marry her? Go marry her, no? No. You want to find this 16-year-old? La hawla la quwwata illa billah. You have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believe me. If you want to use the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a excuse to fulfill your desires, because what is the reality? That the reality is your own personal desire of your nafs. Honesty is at least to say that in so many words. There is no excuse. You know, there is no excuse. This is what happened, this is what I am doing. Maybe Allah will forgive you, Allah alam. But to use the sunnah as an excuse to fulfill desires. So, what adulterate deeds? Following the desire of the nafs in opposition to the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second thing which adulterates deeds is ar-riya, is showing off. And that's why the dalil of the Quran for this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاعُونَ. Allah said, woe to the people who are praying. Woe to the people who are... Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, woe to the people who are drinking alcohol? Woe to the people who are stealing? No, woe to the people who are praying, musallin. Somebody who is doing... What is a better deed than the salah? At the time of the fard salah, there is no deed better than to pray that fard salah. Nothing. If somebody, at the time of fard salah, if somebody is sitting in the masjid reading Quran, and the jamaat has stood, what do you say to that person? You say, please leave the Quran, come and join the salah. He said, no, am I doing something? Am I committing a sin? I'm reading the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not doing any sin. I will pray. This is Salat al-Dhuhr. There is another 2 hours for the time for Dhuhr to finish. So, la hawla wa quwwata illa billah, you're crazy. How can you do anything other than to join the jama'ah at the time of the fard salah? Because any other action you are doing, including, there is no action better than reading the kalam of Allah. But even that action is not permitted for you at that time. That time, the only action which Allah will accept is to stand in that jama'ah. And for that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُسَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاعُونَ. That people who delay their salah and people who pray to show off. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the munafiqeen, among the signs of the munafiqun, one of the signs is what? When they are told to stand in salah, first of all they do it lazily, as if it's a big burden. And yura'un an-nas, to show the people. Sign of nifaq. So the second thing which adulterates is the desire to show the people. Now what do you call today, how many of us know people and how, may Allah forgive us and not put us among them. How many of us are doing things today to show the world? Tell me. And believe me, anyone who is doing it to show the world, you ask him, he'll say, no, I am doing it only for Allah. Will he say, I am doing it to show the world? He will not say, because he knows what he's doing. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what did Allah say? Who can you fool? The people or yourself? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you can only fool yourself. Many times I say this, you can only fool yourself, you can't fool the world. Because in normal parlance, people say you can fool everybody else, you can't fool yourself. Actually, people say you can fool everyone, but you can't fool yourself. But the reality is the opposite. The reality is you can fool others, you cannot fool others, you can fool yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again mentioned this particular thing in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ. About the people with nifaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they try to fool Allah and they try to fool the believers, na'udhu billah. But they do not fool anyone except themselves, and even that they don't know. We can only fool ourselves. You can tell the world, I am doing this only to prove, for the class, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah knows why you are doing it, and you know why you are doing it. And then, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges on the day of judgment that this deed was done to show the world, then that deed has no value, no matter how much of acclaim and how much of applause you got for that deed in this dunya. So we need to be very clear in our minds. Allah will weigh deeds, He will not count them. The weight of a deed depends on sincerity and ikhlas, to be done only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means that you will have to make choices. I will have to make choices. When the choice is between obeying Allah and obeying my own nafs, I have to slaughter my nafs and I have to obey Allah. Why? Because my nafs leads me to sin. And the third thing is, what destroys ikhlas? Second thing which destroys ikhlas is ar-riya. Is showing off, is trying to please people. And Allah called it shirk. And in that we have to understand that the only one we are fooling is ourselves. Nobody else. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us sincerity in our deeds, to give us ikhlas wa niyyah, and to protect this ikhlas wa niyyah always. And that is also a reason why we must do two other things. Continuously check the ikhlas wa niyyah and continuously make tawbah. What is the cure for this? Is tawbah. Because ikhlas is such a, it's like mercury. I don't know if anyone, if you know, one of the thermometers, if it breaks and the mercury falls on the table or something, you see how it, you know, runs everywhere. No? The droplet of mercury, you can't catch it. It's so, the ikhlas is like this. It disappears in no, you started off with a good intention, alhamdulillah. You start something with a good intention. Then people will come and say, you know, this whole masjid is running only because of you. May Allah protect. That's the reason why this masjid, I have insisted, this masjid has no name. Many people come and tell me, aapke dam se chal bhi saaf. Bala toba karo khud bhi, mere ko bhi gharat mat karo. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi raji. Allah ka ghar hai, Allah chala raha. Humse kaam Allah le raha, Allah hamare upar Allah ka ehsaan hai. Kal hum mar jayenge, inshaAllah, to Allah kisi aur khada karega, humse achha kaam karega. Allah mohtaj nahi kisi ke. But it's very easy to allow these things to get to your head. Oh, mashallah, because of me. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi raji. Similarly, you are doing some work of good, people will come and praise you. Oh, mashallah, aapke paas aaj duniya mein nahi hai. And you start believing this nonsense. And destroys your akhirah, destroys all the work you have done, goes down the drain. Very important to be very aware of these things and to continuously make tawbah. Continuously make tawbah. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us ikhlas in our deeds. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from this evil. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to support us to take the right decisions, not to please our nafs, not to please the people, but only and only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means that mentally we have to be prepared that if we take that choice, maybe somebody will be displeased. No problem. No problem. Please be displeased. No problem. And our nafs will feel the pain. Let it feel the pain. Alhamdulillah. And that's why I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this easy for us, to use this month of Ramadan, to practice this so that we bring all of this into our lives. And then we go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, with deeds which inshallah musta'an will be acceptable to Allah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make up the deficiencies in our deeds which are bound to be there no matter how much we try. But we ask Allah in His mercy to make up those deficiencies. and to make the deeds worthy of being accepted by Him, Jalla Jalalu. And we ask Allah Subhanahu wa Taala to be pleased with us and to be pleased with all of you and accept all of your ibadat and all of your amal in this month and all of your charity. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.